Tonight I wanted to share a little bit about this year, 5777, as the year of finishing the captivity of the last 70 years. Now, there's very few of us in the room that remember all 70 of those years. But each of us has been part of a captivity. This is a special night for Casey and me. Late on the evening of June 10th, 1983, Jesus chose to baptize us in his Holy Spirit. So to make the math easy, that's 34 years ago, about 3 hours from now. The parents of some friends of ours from South Africa laid hands on us, and the rest has been history. There's been no same old ever since. It's been an adventure. The Lord wants to take each of us on an adventure of his presence. Father, I ask that you would show us how to complete the things that need to be completed and to enter into the new things that you are setting before us individually and collectively, not just in this region, but in the nations of the earth. This year in particular, God is watching from heaven to see how we will break out of captivity. He's made the way for us to escape. He made the door. His name is Jesus. And the door is open and waiting for us. A lot of us are waiting on God, but God is waiting on us. In Scripture, all sevens are linked with finishing and completing. There's lots about sevens. We talked about that last fall and earlier this year. So this is a specific time of triple sevens in the year 5777 on the Hebraic calendar. This will not occur again for another 1,000 years. It's another day in the life of the Lord before this time of triple sevens comes up again. We are just completing right now the 15th of Sivan. And we have Tammuz and Av and Elul left in this year of 5777 before we move into the Hebrew year 5778 in September of this year. We've got about 3.5 months from right now to move with God to complete some things that he's been prompting us to finish and to complete. So that they're brought back into the proper order in the earth realm, and we can move forward with him. He's given us, that's all of us, no matter what our age, the task of stewarding the earth for him. This past Wednesday, a prophet named Doug Addison, I know some of you know him, released his daily word on June 7th of 2017. It will be important to complete some things you agreed to so that you can move forward freely. Complete. There are some things we need to complete. All of the work was done at the cross, but the cross is not free just because I say Jesus is Lord. I have to procure the promises in the Word of God. Just like at Passover, they had to put the blood on the lintel and the doorpost, or they died. Their firstborn died. I have to find the promise. I have to procure the promise through the blood of Jesus Christ and the victory of his cross. In other words, there's no cheap grace in the kingdom of God. If that's the message you're looking for, you won't hear it here. Because Jesus paid a precious price, and he expects us to do it his way. All order comes through the voice of the one who creates. Father, when he spoke over the chaos and the confusion and the ugliness of evil, brought everything back into order, and then we gave it away. All order comes through the voice of the one who creates. This is one of the first principles that we see in Genesis chapter 1 when he spoke order into the chaos. In other words, Because you are in Christ, you can do what he did. When chaos is around you, you can either succumb to it or you can say, it is finished, quote Christ, and speak order into the chaos. 70 is a significant number in Scripture. We're in the year 5777. 70 represents the perfection of completing. 10 times 7. 10 is a number of perfection. And representing empowerment and release. We talked about the 70 who received the anointing of Moses and the 70 that Jesus sent out to do signs, wonders, and miracles. It's a number of empowerment and release. So what are some of the things that need to be brought back into order and completed so that we can move forward in the days of acceleration that are before us? We're in a 3-year period of time of acceleration. I'll mention some things about that in a few minutes. In his book, Redeeming the Times, Get Your Life Back on Track with the God of Second Opportunities, Chuck Pierce reminds us that we need to redeem time because the days in which we live are evil. And he discusses the laws of redemption and restoration in that book. It's an excellent book. We're currently walking in a divine time of the days of restoration. Like we started this service, 3 million people in Iran last year were restored. They accepted Jesus Christ and are confessing and serving him as Savior. That's quite a restoration out of a place of darkness. Iran has a greater percentage of Christians per capita than the United States does. They have fewer people, but they have a greater percentage of Christians. So the first thing that we need to see restored is a call to restore covenant, specifically with Israel. We need to restore the covenant with Israel. We're in a very significant moment of time in which the United States, for the first time ever, has decreed and proclaimed publicly that we will stand with and defend Israel. Each of us personally has to make a decision where we stand with Israel. Just as the Lord is looking at sheep nations and goat nations, he's also looking at our heart. Where do we stand relative to the principle of this is his chosen nation? Tuesday morning at midnight, a group of us from around the region, as well as others around the United States and around the world, joined us in prayer for the first ever prayer breakfast at the president's house in Jerusalem. That's what happened here from midnight Monday to 1 o'clock Tuesday morning, because we were asked to pray. Rochester, New York was one of the points on the map of the world that was presented to the Knesset and the president, saying these are people who are praying for us and for this historic event, the first ever run by Messianic Jews prayer meeting, prayer breakfast at the president's house, the same place where, when we were there 2 weeks ago, President Trump was welcomed in to meet with the Israeli leaders. We are in a time in which God is calling the nations back into his covenant alignment with Israel. You're going to see nations in these next 3 years begin to make choices. Watch their choices, how they choose Israel, how they speak and act relative to the things that are happening with Israel. Just as there will be sheep nations and goat nations, you and I must determine in our heart as individuals whether we are going to honor God and walk as one new man with Israel. That was probably one of the most amazing things we saw when we were over there, is how the Christian community was now being welcomed, actually being sought by some of the leaders for answers to problems that they have. One leader in particular asked for issues on how to redeem their land. The whole concept of redeeming the land was given by God to Israel, and they said they've lost it, and they've asked how to get it back. Number two, a call to restore the land. Although we like to think that John 3:16 is all about us, so that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, it says that God so loved the cosmos That Greek word literally means all created things, seen and unseen, and mankind too. It's not about us. It's about the land. It's about what he created. And oh, by the way, why are we important? Because he scooped up the land and he made man and formed us out of the dust of the earth. For the past decade, we have been training and leading teams to work on land cleansings and prophetically lock down the gates of our region to the darkness that has been trying to hold back the move of the Lord so that the King of Glory might come in. We've been doing this in the nations that we go to visit. It's one of the reasons why the testimony that was brought through Alistair and Marie at the presence of the Lord is richer here now than it was 2 years ago. Are you committed to see the land restored in order to hasten Jesus' return to rule and reign in our midst? He's looking for you and I to restore the land. No matter what your piece of land is, you have a piece of land he's asked you to restore. Number three, a call to restore Torah. We've just come through Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, and we must now restore our passion for who God is. Torah does not mean law. It means the revelation or the teaching of God. It means that on Mount Sinai, he said to Moses, "This is who I am. This is how you come to me." Do you think God has the right to tell us how to come to him? So we need to embrace the revelation of who he is afresh, so that the passion for his word, his revelation, becomes the passion of our heart. This is not an option. This is being taken away in the nations of the earth. As a matter of fact, we heard today that the United Nations wants to rewrite this book with no reference to God, Holy Spirit, Jesus, the cross, or anything. Did you know that in downstate New York, there are two classrooms in a public school that are committed to Islamic prayer every day, but the Christians aren't allowed to pray there? See, there's a battle. If we know who we are, if we love this, and we may have to have it here. This is Hebraically my mind. I know I got a brain. If I have the word here, then Holy Spirit can tell me in any situation and circumstance what to say and how to say it so that he can break through and have glory. Number four, the Holy Spirit is giving us a call to restore and demonstrate the government of God in a nation. For us, it's the United States. He may call some of us to other nations. See, the United States has fallen, but God has a remnant that he's using to restore his righteous foundations to our cities, our counties, our state, and to the nation. I told you some of the testimonies of what's happening in some of the other states. Indiana's having a revival in Terre Haute. I mean, you can start to see from coast to coast, the Lord is moving in different generations because he wants every generation. Holy Spirit's doing the same thing in the nations of the earth, and those who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church in each nation are beginning to stand and see the salvation of God. We're seeing salvations all over the place, so much so that in some Islamic nations in the southeastern Asian region, they've stopped taking census because they require your religion as part of the census, that they have fallen out of being ahead of Christianity and they don't want the people to know it. So they've stopped taking the census. Israel is in that place right now also. In 5777 and 5778, there are very significant years on Father's path of redemption and restoration for the nation of Israel, which means for all of us, they're on the path for the return of Jesus Christ, because he's coming to rule and reign in Zion. He's not whisking us out of here. Get that theology out of your mind. It's from the pits of hell. It's not in the Bible. 5777 is the 50th anniversary of the reunification of Jerusalem under Israeli rule. 2 weeks ago, when Casey and I represented the United States in Jerusalem during Jerusalem Day celebration, we were invited to dance for the first time ever. I with the men, she with the women, because they don't dance together in rabbinical Judaism. In the streets, Christians were invited, our group in particular, was invited to dance with them and celebrate the 50th anniversary. 5778 will be the 70th anniversary of the nations of the world once again recognizing Israel as a sovereign state. So they're moving from one significant year into another, a year of completion. It has not been an easy 70 years. Wars and terrorist aggression. But could it be that just as Jeremiah prophesied and Daniel believed God to activate the end of the captivity in Babylon after 70 years, that the Lord is going to do something in Jerusalem and his church at the end of this 70 years? Number five. There's a call to restore God's timing of harvest and Rosh Kodesh and festive celebration. We celebrate Rosh Kodesh, the head of every month, the beginning of every new month. We celebrate the harvests. That's the Feast of Pentecost. The Feast of Weeks was the celebration of the wheat harvest. At Tabernacles, we'll celebrate the final ingatherings of harvests. If we are to be a prophetic people, we must move forward in time with God. That's why we've been teaching so much on the Issachar anointing and the Hebraic mindset. This will require us to understand the Bible from a Hebraic perspective so that when Father is honored by our celebrations and offerings, we will walk in the blessings that he has for each of the months and celebrations. He has appointed times for his children to come and celebrate his love, his goodness, and his provision. Every new moon is the start of a new Hebraic month. Father wants to pour his blessings upon his sons and daughters, but for too many centuries, the church has been doing things her own way. Since the late 3rd century, we switched to the Greco-Roman calendar rather than preparing ourselves for the coming of our King. I jokingly say that God loves to party, but in reality, he wants us to celebrate with and enjoy him the way that he desires. Our willingness and ability to honor God at his word will determine our ability to effectively labor in his harvest fields. See, if I don't honor him in the celebration, he's not going to trust me with the harvest that he originally in my book in heaven wrote for me to gather in. Number six, it's a call to enter in and celebrate Shabbat. This is probably where most Christians are breaking the commandments. If you break one, you break them all. God did not suggest that we honor the Sabbath. It's not the 10 suggestions. It's not a list that may make it to my bucket list. I tell you, I look forward to Sunday evening because Casey and I take Shabbat from Sunday evening to Monday evening. Lisa takes hers from Thursday night to Friday night. Lisa and Ron used to take that. We picked them specifically because, let me tell you, today was anything but a day of rest. And for most ministers, Sunday is anything but a day of rest, so that there would always be pastoral eldership availability while one of us was resting. Ron and Valerie take Monday with their family for their day of rest. It is not easy. I will tell you, it is not easy. It's not, oh, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to memorize all this. I'm going to do all. It's a time to just go and enjoy his creation. What did God do on the seventh day? He sat back and he said, whoa, look at what we did. And he enjoyed creation. This is probably going to be the most difficult transition for most Christians to make and to move with Holy Spirit in days ahead. If we want to move in authority, the enemy's going to whisper and say, but this one doesn't know how to rest. The Old Testament and the New Testament says that they did not enter into the promise of God because they refused to enter into his rest. As a matter of fact, God let Israel be taken captive for 70 years, 1 year for each of the times they did not honor the Sabbath on the land. In the creation story, and excuse me, and at the first Pentecost on Mount Sinai, God revealed that rest was part of his character. If it's part of his character and we are his children, we probably need to rest. We must move forward with integrity. If we break one commandment, we break them all. And the accuser will accuse us. When Casey and I learned to really take a day of rest, and it looks different every week, and sometimes we have to move it because something comes up, but we take a day of rest. When we finally learned to do that, we started getting more done in 6 days than we used to get done in 7 days. And our health was strengthened. Number seven, there's a call to restore the procession of glory. Do you want to see the glory of the Lord in our midst? That's one of the things I ask him for, is the glory of his presence to be in our midst. Do you desire his abiding presence? That's where we were getting to in worship tonight. It's almost like Keith read my journal this week because I was in the Song of Solomon's, being embraced by the Lord. You know, when you're in the Lord's embrace, there's only one thing you see. It's his face. Father has shown us the possession of his glory in his word. From Genesis to Revelation, he's shown us the procession of his glory. Father has appointed times, the blueprint for his tabernacle, and the lineage of Christ all speak of the procession of the glory of the Lord. Don't have time to go into that. We do that at some of the feasts. It's time to return to doing things God's way. Remember when they tried to bring the Ark of the Covenant back the first time and they put it on the back of the oxen? Do you want to be a Uzziah? An Uzzah? Toast? Versus carrying his presence on your shoulders, symbolically in our hearts. It's time to return to doing things God's way so that the procession of his presence can take us from glory to glory. I don't want yesterday's glory. I don't want the glory I felt 10 years ago tonight when I first spoke in tongues and just the manifestation of his presence was there. There's something much more that he has for each of us. Number eight, there is a call to mobilize an army for war. This is all about the battle over the harvest of nations. Nations are lining up right now on where they're going to be for all eternity. Do you think when I finally realized my need for Christ to be Lord in my life, the devil said, well, it's time to stop whispering lies to Al? Or do you think when Jesus baptized me in his Holy Spirit, the devil told the hosts of hell, well, we had better not mess with Al anymore? No. The attacks increased. But now I have a weapon they can't stand against. Every time we take a stand for Christ and his kingdom, the enemies of righteousness, peace, and joy are going to attack us with every weapon of darkness they have but God. Father has already won the victory in Christ Jesus, and we do not war for victory. We war from victory. In other words, we're not fighting to get a victory. Jesus already won it. We have to procure that victory. We fight from a place of victory, seated with him in heavenly places, knowing that it is finished. The whisper of the enemy in your ear is, and I just heard it all over. Yeah, that's okay for Al. It's okay for Jesus. It's okay for all of us. When you put your foot down on the enemy, he cannot whisper. Romans 16:20 says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan over under Alan's feet. No, under Marie's feet. No, under your feet. We can either believe the word, obey the word, and activate the word, or the enemy has authority over us. Holy Spirit is calling the bride of Christ to a place of restored order in Christ. The stronger we move in God's aligned order, the quicker a nation comes into God's order. In other words, the United States isn't going to get there because the government did the right things or the corporate world did the right things. It's going to be that the church is doing the things the Lord told his bride to do. Isaiah 56:6-7 says, also the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even those I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Ask the Lord to give you a burden for a people group, for a nation. It is Father's desire that people, every people group, has a joyful house of prayer. That means the Inuits in Alaska. That means the Senecas in Central and Western New York. That means you and I, whatever ethnic group we are. He desires that every people group have a joyful house of prayer. Which nations will be for God and friends with Israel? Those are the sheep nations. And which nations will be against God and enemies of Israel? Those are going to be the goat nations. Only he knows. But how we live can switch a goat nation to a sheep nation. Right now, the United States, by all accounts of all the prophets, is we're hanging in the balance. It may be a state-by-state issue. Do you want to know which state is the only state in the United States that accepted refugees when every nation, including the United States of America, refused refugees from Germany? Jewish refugees. You want to know which state in the United States welcomed them? Oswego, New York. The only city once, right before the end of the war, 980 refugees, mainly from central nations of Europe. There's a heritage here that the Lord will honor if we remember before him to pray. I believe there's going to be an outpouring of the Spirit because of that in Oswego. Psalm verse 2 is all about the nations in an uproar. You know, that's where they are right now. That's where the United States is right now. We are not a Christian nation. We have a lot of people who call themselves Christ, but this is not the word of God to them. It is not truth. It is not the absolute. This is my absolute. If you ask me if I have an opinion, I will go here to see what my opinion is. We were walking, I won't tell you where we were. We were at one of the sites that we did the prayer walk on. We took Alistair and Marie there yesterday, and we were talking about all these things. And I said, as a chemist, a lot of people ask me, do you garden organically? And I said, no, I garden biblically. He said, I like that answer. I said, I literally do. Don't have time to go into it. Why do I plant milk jugs? I told our realtor in Tennessee when she'd never seen it before, I said, that's how you grow cows, isn't it? The Bible says the roots grow down so the fruit will be borne upward. Most farmers forget about the roots. And so I water down so the roots grow down and not up to the hot surface and burn out so we get more fruit. I didn't think of that. It's in the book of Jeremiah. Who knows? God does. Psalm 2 says that the nations are raging against the Lord and his anointed, but he laughs at them. We have to choose. Are we going to be with the laugher? Or are we going to be with the laughed at? I'm choosing to be with the laugher. As we move forward, we need to review the prophetic words that have been spoken over our nation, over our state, over our nation, over our region. And then we need to intercede so that those words become a reality in the earth realm. God is looking for us to, by faith, activate the words he spoke over us. Then we can expect to see four major shifts take place. The first shift we should expect to see is heaven's atmosphere enter the earth. We're seeing that now in these places where revival is breaking out. We're starting to see that now in some of the things that are happening in their region, but we have a ways to go. Number two, wait a minute. Number two, government in heaven is activated. Where do you rule and reign? Scripture says in heavenly places, with him. Far above all the principalities and powers. In other words, when that stuff is coming at you, it's probably because you haven't ascended in worship to get his view of what's coming at you. Number three, we can expect to see a shift in the government in earth aligning as a kingdom force. Alistair had a very interesting take on the British elections. He's Scottish. The British press, oh, and by the way, if you're listening to the press, stop. Just turn the channel and the same story will tell you a different story on the same topic, on the same thing. I don't have time to go down the rabbit trail. I want to go down. There is a lot of stuff happening that is very, very positive that the press will not speak on. But in that election, the British press said everybody lost. Yes, a 20 percentage point lead was blown in 3 weeks. Yes, all these things happened. But there was a small group of Christians in Northern Ireland that are now, by the press and everybody, saying they are the king's maker. They are the ones that will determine the coalition for the newly elected or re-elected, she was never elected before, Prime Minister May. All of this stuff happened, but God wasn't shocked. Our elections was not a shock. Do you know when our election was decided, this last one? Take a guess when the last election was decided. Beside creation. It was ordained from the beginning of time. When we created our government and created our voting system, and the Electoral College was established so that no one large population group could determine who led the entire United States of America. Hillary Clinton won the election by 2 million votes. She won four of the five counties in New York City by 2 million votes. New York City could have decided the entire election, but she won less than 2% of the land mass. She won less than, I forget what it was. It was this phenomenal percentage. It was like less than 5% of the counties in the United States. Because God put a wisdom in our founding fathers that no small group should be able to speak for an entire nation. Government and earth aligns as a kingdom force. We're beginning to see that in nations. Number four, we're seeing a shift in that the aligned and mobilized army legislates heaven's will in the earth realm. We are the army of God. And it's beginning to come back into right order with his will and his timing. And our whole purpose, according to Jesus in the Gospels, is that we become the ecclesia, the legislative force of heaven on earth, to make earth look like heaven. We can expect to see a 3-year window of accelerated rearrangement of vision over the nation's authority structures, over the nation's economic structures, and I'm not talking about just the United States, I'm talking about the nations of the earth, and over the nation's power demonstrations. We're already seeing it. We said it was going to start happening last fall, and governments are shifting. There's many more elections that are up. I'm watching an election for a personal reason in the South Pacific. It takes place next month. Jesus, just as Jesus demonstrates his love for a people's life through redemption and the release of sustenance, that's what we need to live, we need to look at nations and see what is happening in the redemptive plan of a nation. We need to ask the Lord to show us the nations and ask, where is the root for that nation? Are they aligned rightly with God? Are they aligned rightly with Israel? See, when we see where the root of that nation is, we know where the fruit of that nation is. Do you remember the story about the Philadelphia businessman, the Jewish businessman during the Revolutionary War? He came to the United States broke. He was a brilliant young man. He was from Austria. He traveled Europe and learned how to do investing. He was basically, you could call him a the rich trader in the story of the minas and the talents in the Bible, because he traded. And he came broke. He went through England but came to the U.S. broke, came to New York City, and became well known as a trader. And when the Continental Army needed funds, he personally traded funds and left a unpaid debt. He died at the age of 44. With the country still today, right now, owing him at that time $600,000. That's what he invested. Why did he do that? This Jewish man had a dream one night where the Lord spoke to him and said, I'm creating a nation called the United States, and I will use her in the future to reestablish Israel. So he gave his time and his talents and traded so that the army had supplies and food and clothing. I did a rough calculation. Typically, a trader makes between 150 and 1,000% on their trade every year. Would you like to get 100%? So let's just say he got 5%. Would that be fair? Would you say that's a modest assumption that he could get 5%? He came with nothing, and in a few years, he built up all this wealth equivalent to $600,000. It's worth $64 billion today if they had just given him his money back and he could get 5% a year. Currency traders make huge returns. See, the Lord is moving on economic structures. They're going to change. Ours is not the leading structure anymore. There's over $700 trillion of debt in the world right now. the new Prime Minister of Canada. See, the world wants to operate on a debt model. When he came in, he got rid of all of the surplus that the Christian Prime Minister before him had. He sold all of their gold and silver so that they are now in debt. That's what the Bible calls a fool. Things are shifting. So watch for these issues. Economic structures, authority structures, and power demonstrations are shifting in the nations of the earth. Just as Jesus demonstrates his love for us, we have to find where the root is. The root of the United States has been a friend of Israel. It has been declared that we will be a friend of Israel, at least for the next 4 years, as long as this administration is in office. New York State has always been, as of right now, aligned with Israel. Pray that we continue to be. So we're currently in the month of Sivan, 5777. Sivan is the Zion month in the Hebrew calendar. 5777 is the Zion year in the Hebrew calendar. We're in the Zion month in the Zion year. So a place to look to see what we should be looking at right now in time is the book of Joel, because there's a lot of Zion happenings in Joel. In Joel, we see several things taking place. We see God revoking an adverse sentence and removing a reproach and commanding the destroyers to leave. We see that David's house will rise up again. We see God pour out a spirit of grace, favor, and supplication. These are all good things that we should be looking for God to do now. We see the former and the latter rains come. Technically, in time, we just passed through the former rains and we're in the season of the latter rains in Israel. That's an annual occurrence. We see God filling the threshing floors. We need to watch as the threshing floors change. Threshing floors are places where we meet with God and he removes the chaff. Are you ready for your threshing floor? It's a good thing. I think Keith sang about surrendering to his love. If we surrender to his love, the threshing floor is a good thing. We're going to see God replacing and restoring the four levels of loss. Remember the different worms that attacked everything? He's replacing that and he's restoring what was lost. How many of you need some things that were lost restored? I know I do. That's the time that we're in. Expect God to do the things that he said he's going to do. Don't try to calculate it. Don't put together an Excel spreadsheet or a Microsoft Access sheet and try to say God's going to do it this way. Let God be God. The book of Joel is a prophetic picture of Israel at the crossroads. We see that there's a new outpouring of Holy Spirit with prophecy and signs of wonders. We can expect to see that happening. We're seeing it as we travel. We're seeing it here. We should expect to see fresh outpourings of the Holy Spirit. Signs and wonders should become so ordinary, like they were in the book of Acts, that we have to choose which ones to talk about because they're extraordinary. In the book of Joel, we see that the triumphant reserve arises. We also see that in Acts chapter 2 and Revelation and Romans chapter 10. So we should expect to see the triumphant reserve. What does triumph mean? They have victory. What does reserve mean? God has held us, we're part of that triumphant reserve, for such a time as this. In the book of Joel, we see that nations are realigned and they are delivered around Israel. Again, this next 3 years, you're going to begin to see the sheep nations and the goat nations identify where they really are. Do you know that when Israel was made a nation, once again, the nations of the world recognized in May of 1948 that Israel was a state. Soon after that, every nation in the Western world refused to import Israeli crops. They are an agrarian culture, or at least they were. They still predominantly are. And so all of the farms would begin to die. Do you know what nation stepped up to import their crops? Singapore. Singapore is the wealthiest now. They just celebrated their 50th anniversary of separation from Malaysia 2 years ago. They are the wealthiest city state in the world. They are considered to be the banking center of Asia. It's a small island, smaller than Monroe County. They have no farms. They import all of their food, but they are one of Israel's best friends. And they work with Israel, and Israel works with them. Watch nations that align with Israel. Singapore is a beautiful, we've been there many times, beautiful, affluent nation. They're growing so much that they're importing soil from other nations so they can expand their island. Literally. We had to teach them how to do spiritual warfare over that soil that they were importing from other nations. The book of Joel says we should watch who blockades Israel financially. Do you know that there was a blockade put on Israel by most of Europe on their products last year? Failures, forbidden to import them unless they put specific labels on them. You know why that is? Because most of Europe is Islamic. Including England. And they want to control all of the money systems of the world. One of the six jihads of Islam is the currency war. They want to control it all. Don't have time to go into that. It's a whole different topic. A judgment's going to come on those nations who have scattered Israel in the past. That's what we're beginning to see. You look at where all of the terrorist places are breaking out. Those places that have turned their back on Israel have opened themselves to attack. This places each and every nation, including us, in a time to choose. We see in Joel chapter 3 that the Pentecost harvest of nations has begun. The whole chapter 3 of Joel is how I'm going to conclude. We see, secondly, that nations must choose their affiliations and confederations. Who are they going to align with? Watch for the alignments of nations for or against Israel in the coming 3 years. I'm personally choosing to align with those nations that align with Israel. I know how this ends. He has already won. Do I want to be on the winning side? Or do I want to be arrogant? I've done that for too many years. It doesn't work. Look what it did to Lucifer. Israel and Jerusalem must become a prophet to the nations. In the days ahead, they must become the voice of the Lord back out to the nations. It is amazing to see how the Messianic church in Jerusalem is working together in a way that 5 years ago they were like the four churches on a corner in Rochester that didn't talk. And now they're doing things together. They actually are doing things not only together, but Arab and Israeli Christians are celebrating together. I can't tell you where, but every summer the group is growing and growing. One of the groups that we support with our missions outreach from here, they take Arab and Jewish teens and young adults out for a week of worshiping the Lord and serving it. And they invite unsaved friends, and guess what? They meet Yeshua. Ask the Lord to put his prophetic mantle, his prophet mantle on Jerusalem. The third thing we see is how you listen and worship is going to determine your victory. How you listen and how you worship is going to determine your victory. I don't know about you, but I enjoyed worship tonight. There was just such a presence that as we let our heart go to him, he wafted over us. Listen for what he's saying, because in the days ahead, you need to hear the Holy Spirit say, this is the way, walk it. And the fourth thing is that the tabernacle of David will now be restored in the nations who choose Israel. There's a whole lot of stuff about 24/7 and all these things, but it was about the presence of the Lord. That's what the tabernacle was about. David was the most successful king because for 33 years there was a presence of the Lord in which all of his ministers, all of his advisors, and he himself could hear what it was the Lord wanted to do. This will bring a release of one new man kingdom authority. The scripture from Genesis to Revelation has always been about God raising up one new man. Adam blew it. That means you and I blew it. So he created Israel as a nation. And now Jew and Gentile are going to form one new man that will have kingdom authority in the earth. We are in a time to build again, and God has activated the supernatural law of restoration in the earth realm. We can begin to see what he tells us in his word when we speak it in faith, see him bring it to pass in the earth realm. You need to choose to enter into the presence war to establish the tabernacle of David in your life and in the United States. That's a choice to enter into the presence war. The presence war never goes away, like I spoke last week. The war about his presence is always going to be with us. It's always about where we're going to worship. You can see that in 2 Samuel chapter 8, Amos chapter 9, Acts chapter 11, and the entire book of Revelation. There must be a proclamation of alignment with Israel and that we love the God of Israel. In your prayer time with the Lord, every day in my prayer time with the Lord, I ask him to defend and protect Israel. I thank him for his love for Israel. Whatever it is that he gives you, let the Lord's blessings be poured out upon you because you pray for the peace and the prosperity of Jerusalem according to the Psalms. Acts chapter 15, verses 16 through 18 say, after these things I will return. And I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen, and I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes known these things from long ago. Jesus was Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, was quoting Amos 9:11 and Jeremiah 12:15. We are in that time now. That's where we are. After these things, I will return. These next 3 years are critical times for us individually and for us collectively as a nation. Are you moving forward to the new thing that God is doing in the earth? That's the question I'm leaving you with tonight. Are you moving forward to the new thing that God is doing in the earth? That's where we are moving toward, the new thing that he's doing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are moving forward to establish your kingdom presence in the heart of every believer. Lord, we ask you to come and establish your throne in our heart. We ask you to establish your throne in this gathering of believers called Shepherd's Heart. We ask you to come, King of Glory, into each and every gate of this region and establish your throne and do the new thing in the Rochester region that you desire to do. Holy Spirit, we do not want the Finney revival. We want the 21st century outpouring of your grace and glory that you have reserved with exponential increase for such a time as this. And Father, I ask that you would show each of us where you desire our heart to be with that, so that if we are to be a foot, we will be a foot. If we are to be an arm, we'll be an arm. If we are to be a voice, we'll be a voice. And if we're to be an ear, we'll be an ear. That we will be what you want us to be, individually and collectively, so that your bride will make herself ready, and we will see your glory in both the new thing you are doing and in Jerusalem when you rule and reign from Zion. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.